For boredom, a little more sensitivity is needed than it is given to the animal. And if you want to get beyond it, then you have to become totally sensitive. Then again the boredom disappears. But in the middle, the boredom is there. Either you become animal-like, boredom disappears. So you will find people who live a very animalistic life are less bored. Eating, drinking, marrying. They are not much bored. But they are not sensitive. They live at the minimum. They live only with that much consciousness which is needed for day-to-day routine life. You will find intellectuals, people who think too much, more bored. Because they think, and because of their thinking, they can see that something is just a still repetition. Your life is repetition. Every morning you get up, almost the same way as you have been getting up all your life. You take your breakfast, almost the same. Then you go to the office, the same people, the same work. Then you come home, the same wife. If you get bored, it is natural. It is very difficult for you to see any newness here. Everything seems to be old, dust covered. I have heard one anecdote. Mary Jane, the very good friend of a wealthy broker, opened the door cheerfully one day and then quickly attempted to close it when she discovered the person on the threshold to be her lover's wife. The wife leaned against the door and said, let me in, dear. I don't intend to make a scene, just have a small friendly discussion. With considerable nervousness, Mary Jane let her enter, then said cautiously, "What do you want?" "Nothing much," said the wife, looking about. "I just want the answer to one question. Tell me, dear, just between us, what do you see in that dumb jerk?" The same husband every day becomes a dumb jerk. The same wife every day. You almost forget how she looks. If you are told to close your eyes and remember your wife's face, you will be impossible to remember. Many other women will come in the mind, the whole neighborhood, but not your wife. The relationship has become a continuous repetition. You make love. You hug your wife, you kiss your wife. But those are all empty gestures now. The glory and the glamour has disappeared long before. Almost a marriage is finished by the time the honeymoon is over. Then you go on pretending. But behind those pretensions, a deep boredom accumulates. Watch people walking on the street and you will see them completely bored. Everybody is bored. Bored to death. Look at their faces. No aura of delight. Look at their eyes. Dust covered. No glimmer of inner happiness. They move from the office to the home from the home to the office, and by and by the whole life becomes a mechanical routine, a constant repetition. And one day they die. And almost always people die without ever having been alive. Bertrand Russell is reported to have said that when I remember, I cannot find more than a few moments in my life when I was really alive, aflame. Can you remember? How many moments in your life when you were really aflame? Rarely it happens. One dreams about those moments, one imagines about those moments, hopes for those moments, but they never happen. And even if they happen, sooner or later, they also become repetitive. When you fall in love with a woman or a man, you feel a miracle. But by and by, the miracle disappears. Everything settles to be a routine. Boredom is the consciousness of repetition. Because animals cannot remember the past, they cannot feel bored. They cannot remember the past, so they cannot feel the repetition. The buffalo goes on eating the same grass every day with the same delight. You cannot. Because how can you eat the same grass with the same delight? You are fed up. Hence people try to change. They move in a new house. They bring a new car home. They divorce the old husband. They find a new love affair. But again that thing is going to become repetitive sooner or later. Changing places, changing persons, changing partners, changing houses is not going to do anything. And whenever a society becomes very much bored, people start moving from one town to another, from one job to another, from one wife to another. But sooner or later, they realize that this is all nonsense. Because the same thing is going to happen again and again with every woman, with every man, with every house, with every car. What to do then? Become more conscious. It is not a question of changing situations. Transform your being. Become more conscious. If you become more conscious, you will be able to see each moment is new. But for that very much tremendous energy of consciousness is needed. The wife is not the same. Remember, you are in an illusion. Go back home and look again at your wife. She is not the same. Nobody can be the same. Just appearances deceive. These trees are not the same as they were yesterday. How can they be? They have grown. Many leaves have fallen, new leaves have come. Look at the almond. How many new leaves have come? Every day the old are falling, new are coming. But you are not that much conscious. Either no consciousness, then you cannot feel repetition. Or so much consciousness that you can see in each repetition something new. These are the two ways to get out of boredom. Changing outside things is not going to help. It is just like arranging the furniture in your room again and again. Whatsoever you do, it is the same furniture. You put it this way, then that way. There are many housewives who continuously think about how to manage, how to put things, where to put and where not to put, and they go on changing. But it is the same room. It is the same furniture. How long you will deceive this way? A brief television skit I once saw with a caveman and a cavewoman who were kissing wildly and hysterically. They broke apart only to say, "Gee, this is great." Then they turned to kissing again. Finally, the cavewoman pulled away to say, "Listen, do you suppose this wonderful thing we have discovered means we are married?" The caveman bent his small mind to the matter and finally said, "Yes, I guess we are married. Now let us kiss some more." Whereupon the cavewoman put her hand to her head and said in sudden anguish, "Ah, I have such a headache." Two persons meet, strangers. Everything is wonderful, beautiful. But sooner or later, they become acquainted with each other. That's what marriage means. That means now they are settling. Now they would like to make it a repetition. Then the same kissing and the same hugging is no more beautiful. It becomes almost a duty. One man came home and he found his friend kissing his wife. He took away the friend into another room. The friend was trembling with fear. Now there is going to be something. The friendship is broken and the friend seems to be very angry, but he was not. He closed the door and asked the friend, "Just tell me one thing. I have to, but why you were kissing? I have to, but why you were kissing?" By and by, everything settles. Newness disappears. And you don't have that much consciousness or that quality of consciousness which can go on finding the new again and again. For a dull mind, everything is old. For a totally alive mind, there is nothing old under the sun. Cannot be. Everything is in flux. Every person is in flux, is river-like. Persons are not dead things. How they can be the same? Are you the same? When you had come this morning to listen to me, and when you will go back home, a lot has happened in between. Some thoughts have disappeared from your mind. Some other thoughts have entered your mind. You may have attained to a new insight. You cannot go the same as you had come. The river is continuously flowing. It looks the same, but it is not the same. The old Heraclitus has said, "You cannot step twice in the same river." Because the river is never the same. One thing. And you are also not the same. Another thing. Everything is changing. But then one has to live at the peak of consciousness. Either live like a Buddha or live like a buffalo. Then you will not be bored. Now the choice is yours. I have never seen anybody the same You come to me. How many times you have come to me? But I never see the old. I am always surprised by the newness that you bring every day. You may not be aware about it. Remain capable of being surprised. Let me tell you one anecdote. One man entered a bar deep in private thoughts of his own. He turned to a woman just passing and said, "Pardon me, miss, do you happen to have the time?" In a strident voice, he responded, "How do you dare make such a proposition to me?" The man snapped to attention in surprise and was uncomfortably aware that every pair of eyes in the place had turned in their direction. He mumbled, "I just asked the time, miss." In a voice even louder, the woman shrieked, "I will call the police if you say another word." Grabbing his drink and embarrassed very nearly to death, the man hastened to the far end of the room and huddled at a table, holding his breath and wondering how soon he could sneak out the door. Not more than half a minute had passed when the woman joined him. In a quiet voice, he said, "I am terribly sorry, sir, to have embarrassed you, but I am a psychology student at the university, and I am writing a thesis on the reaction of human beings to sudden shocking statements." The man stared at her for 3 seconds, then he leaned back and bellowed, "You will do all that for me all night for just $2? And it is said the woman fell down, unconscious. Maybe we don't allow our consciousness to rise higher, because then life will be a constant surprise, and you may not be able to manage it. That's why you have settled for a dull mind. There is some investment in it. You are not dull for no reason. You are dull for a certain purpose. Because if you are really alive, then everything will be surprising and shocking. If you remain dull, then nothing surprises you. Nothing is shocking. The more dull you are, the whole life seems to be dull to you. If you become more aware, the life will also become more alive, livelier. And there is going to be difficulty. You always live with dead expectations. Every day you come home, you expect a certain behavior from your wife. Now look how you create your own misery. You expect a certain fixed behavior from your wife, and then you expect your wife to be new. Then you are asking the impossible. If you really want your wife to remain continuously new to you, don't expect. Come home always ready to be surprised and shocked. Then the wife will be new. But she has to fulfill certain expectations. So we never allow our total flux-like freshness to be known to the other. We go on hiding. We don't expose because the other may not be able to understand it at all. And the wife also expects the husband to behave in a certain way. And of course, they manage the roles. We are not living life, we are living roles. The husband comes home, he forces himself into a certain role. By the time he enters the house, he is no more a live person. He is just a husband. A husband means a certain type of expected behavior. The woman there is a wife and the man there is a husband. Now, when these two persons meet, there are really four persons. The husband and wife, which are not real persons, just personas, masks, false patterns, expected behavior, duties, and all that. And the real persons hiding behind the mask, those real persons feel bored. But you have invested too much in your persona, in your mask. If you really want a life which has no boredom in it, drop all masks, be true. And sometimes it will be difficult, I know, but it is worth. Be true. If you feel like loving your wife, love. Otherwise, say you don't feel like. What is happening right now is that the husband goes on making love to the wife and goes on thinking of some actress. In imagination, he is not making love to this woman. In imagination, he is making love to some other woman. And the same is true about the wife. Then things become boring because they are no more alive. The intensity, the sharpness is lost. It happened on a railway platform. Mr. Johnson had waited himself on one of those old-fashioned penny machines that delivered a card with a fortune printed on it. The formidable Mrs. Johnson plucked it from her husband's fingers and said, "Let me see that." "Ah," it says, "you are firm and resolute, have a decisive personality, are a leader of men, and are attractive to women." Then she turned over the card, studied it at a moment and said, "And they have got the weight wrong as well. No woman can believe that her husband is attracted to other women." Now there is the whole point, the whole crux. If he is not attracted to other women, how she can expect he will be attracted to herself? If he is attracted to other women, only then he can be attracted to her, because she is also a woman. The wife wants him to be attractive to him and not attractive to anybody else. The husband wants his wife to be attractive to him and not attractive to anybody else. Now it is asking something absurd. It is asking as if you are allowed to breathe only in my presence. And when you go to somebody else, you are not allowed to breathe. How you dare to breathe anywhere else? Just breathe when the wife is there. Just breathe when the husband is there. And don't breathe anywhere else. Of course, if you do that, you will be dead. And you will not be able to breathe in front of your wife also. Love has to be a way of life. You are to be loving. Only then you can love your wife and your husband. But the wife says, no, you should not look at anybody else with a loving eye. Of course, you manage, because if you don't manage, it creates such nuisance that you manage. By and by, the glimmer in your eyes disappears. You cannot look with love anywhere else. By and by, you cannot look with love at your own wife. It disappears. The same has happened to her. The same has happened to whole humanity. Then life is a boredom. Then everybody is waiting for death. Then there are people continuously thinking of committing suicide. Marcel has said somewhere that the only metaphysical problem facing humanity is suicide. And it is so. Because people are so bored. It is simply amazing why they don't commit suicide. How they go on living. Life doesn't seem to give anything. All meaning seems to be lost. But still people go on dragging somehow, hoping someday some miracle will happen and everything will be put right. It never happens. You have to put it right. Nobody else is going to put it right. No Messiah is to come. Don't wait for any Messiah. You have to be a light unto yourself. Live more authentically. Drop the masks. They are the weight on your heart. Drop all falsities. Be exposed. Of course it is going to be troublesome, but that trouble is worth, because only after that trouble you will grow and become mature. And then nothing is old in life. Each moment life reveals its newness. It is a constant miracle happening all around you. Only you are hiding behind dead habits. Become a Buddha if you don't want to be bored. Live each moment as fully alert as possible. Because only in full alertness you will be able to drop the masks. Otherwise, you have completely forgotten what is your original face. Even when you stand before the mirror in your bathroom and you are alone there, nobody is there. Even standing before the mirror, you don't see your original face in the mirror. There too you go on deceiving. Existence is available for those who are available to existence. And then I tell you, there is no boredom. Life is infinite delight. The third question, I feel so much resistance against meditation and I don't have this desire for God you speak about. Is this the right place for me? If you feel much resistance against meditation, that simply shows that deep down you are alert that something is going to happen which will change your total life. You are afraid of being reborn. You have invested too much in your old habits, in the old personality, in the old identity. Meditation is nothing but trying to clean your being. trying to become fresh and young, trying to become more alive and more alert. If you are afraid of meditation, that means you are afraid of life. You are afraid of awareness. And the resistance comes because you know that if you move in meditation, something is bound to happen. If you are not resisting at all, that may be because you don't take meditation very seriously, you don't take meditation very sincerely, then you can play around. What is there to be afraid? Exactly because you are resisting, this is the right place for you. Precisely, this is the right place for you. The resistance shows that something is going to happen. One never resists without any deep cause. You must be living a very dead life. Now you are afraid that something is becoming alive. Something is changing. You resist. Resistance is an indication. Resistance is a very clear indication that you have suppressed much. Now, in meditation, that suppression will surface. It will be released. You would also like to be released of the burden, but in that burden there are investments. For example, you may be carrying pebbles in your hands, but you think they are diamonds. And then I tell you, clean yourself. Drop these pebbles. They have become a burden and you cannot move because of them. Now the problem arises. They are pebbles to me and they are diamonds to you. You are burdened, you will like to be unburdened. So you listen to me. You would like to be unburdened. But then you are afraid your diamonds will be lost. And they are not diamonds. Look again at your diamonds. If they are really diamonds, you should be happy. If they are really diamonds, you would not have come to me at all. There was no need. If you have come, it shows that you are seeking. You may say that you are not interested in God. I am also not interested in God. But you are interested in yourself. Are you interested in yourself? Forget all about God. If you are interested in yourself, then precisely this is the place for you. If you are interested in your own well-being, in your own wholeness and health, if you are interested in becoming a blossomed flower, then forget all about God, because in that blossoming, you will know what God is. When your fragrance will be released, then you will know what God is. God is your ultimate flowering, your final flowering. Your destiny fulfilled is what God is all about. A woman seeing Turner's picture said once, making a lot of fuss over him, "Are not they? I never saw anything in him myself." And another woman said to Turner himself, But you know, Mr. Turner, I never see sunsets like yours. She received the mild yet devastating reply, "No, don't you wish you could?" When a Turner paints a sunset, of course, he sees a sunset in a totally different way than you can see. He brings all his sensitivity, his whole being to see it. In fact, you may not have ever seen a sunset the way a painter looks at. Turner says rightly, "Don't you wish you could? I am here. I know you cannot see what I am talking about. But don't you wish you could? I know many things I am saying are almost nonsense to you. Because to see them, you will have to attain different eyes. To see them, you will have to clarify your being. To see them, you will have to pacify your turmoil within. I know you cannot see the green that I am seeing in the trees. Your green is bound to be very dusty, because your eyes are full of dust. It happened once, a man was staying at somebody's house with a friend. The host and the guest were standing near the window. The window was closed. And in the neighbor's house, clothes were hanging to be dried. The host said, "These people are very dirty. Look at their clothes." The man looked and he came closer to the window and she said, "Those clothes are not dirty. Your window glass is covered with dust." They opened the windows and it was so. Those clothes were not dirty. Life is tremendously beautiful. It is divine. When we say life is God, we simply say that life is so tremendously beautiful that one feels a reverence for it. That's all. Life is so tremendously beautiful that one feels like worshipping it. That's all when we say life is God. When we say life is God, we only mean that don't see that life is ordinary. It is extraordinary. Tremendous potentiality is there. Just open your eyes. I have never seen a person who is not interested in God. He may not know. Because I have never seen a person who is not interested in happiness. If you are interested in happiness, you are interested in God. If you are interested in being blissful, you are interested in God. Forget all about God, you just try to be blissful. And one day, when you are dancing in your inner bliss, and when the inner juices are flowing, suddenly, this life is no more ordinary. Everywhere, some unknown force is hiding. And you will see God in the flowers and in the stones and in the stars. I talk to you just to plant a seed, a song, a star. If you can become happy, you become religious. A happy person is a religious person. Let that be the definition. Not that a person who goes to the church or to the temple. If he is unhappy, he cannot be religious. A religious person is happy. Wherever he is in the temple. A happy person carries his temple around him. I know it because I have been carrying it. I need not go to any temple. Where I am is my temple. It is a climate. It is my own inner juice overflowing. God is nothing but you, realized, reached, fulfilled. Yes, I say to you, I have never seen a man who is not interested in God. There cannot be. That man is not possible. Even people who say they don't believe in God are atheists, are not uninterested in God. They are interested. They are denying, they are saying that they don't believe, maybe just a trick of the mind to protect themselves. Because once you allow yourself to be possessed by God, you disappear, only God remains. So people who are afraid of being disappearing, moving into non-being, people who are too much egoistic and cannot allow their drop to drop in the ocean, say there is no ocean. That is their trick of the mind, so that they can protect themselves. They are fearful people, afraid, scared of life. If you are interested in being happy, this is the place for you. And you are already here. Nobody has brought you. Nobody has forced you. You have come on your own. Some inner search. Maybe unaware. You may not be aware of it. Has brought you here. Maybe something in the heart and your head may not know anything about it. There are desires the head is completely unaware. The head is concerned only with rubbish.